Tito Unsigned Radio Show, broadcasting from the world every Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on SW1Radio.co.uk, and from December 3rd on 87.7 FM and FM.
All of your crazy days, think I'll leave them in the rain. If I cry, will it wash them all away? If I scream, I love you, will they carry me away?
Guys, that we all were waiting for. We have in the studio the Atomic Mosquito Unsigned Radio Show, the one and only Mr. Dave Press. Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Mr. Dave Press. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm all right, Carlos. Really nice to see you.
Oh, it's fantastic to have you back in the show right here on the air on SW1 Radio, the Atomic Mosquito Unsigned Radio Show. Man, that's amazing. How do you do that? It's incredible.
I sat at home and practiced.
A lot.
Yeah.
For just what? About 20 years?
Well, no, about, well, nearly, to be honest, yeah, actually. nearly 20 years, yeah, at least, well, 15.
Well, listeners out there, this is a very, very special moment for us at the Atomic Mosquito. Of course, we pride ourselves to have just the best talented musicians out there. And as you have just tasted, we're kind of right. And, I mean, Mr. Depress is doing so much. But before I carry on, I talk forever, because I can talk for 3 days without drinking.
Go for it.
And my listeners out there, they know that. David, tell us a little bit about you, just a little introduction for the people that don't know where you're coming from, a little bit of your background. Where is your music coming from? How did you all come together?
I got you. All right. Well, my music comes from really, it's roots music, if you will, because I kind of grew up with blues and rock, you know, the bands like Zeppelin and
Purple, oh, yes,
those kind of people. And their music's founded in blues. So it also graduates over into soul music and stuff like that and funk, because the blues is the basic roots of it, if you will. And so, yeah, that's where I'm coming from anyway.
That's fantastic. How did you decide to pick up the guitar and just decided to, okay, I'm going to become a guitarist and one of the best around?
Oh, right. Oh, thank you very much. I used to buy Zeppelin albums, and I watched Jimmy Page play and listen to him. I thought, I want to be like Jimmy Page. He's really good.
It's where
basically.
Really, oh, yeah, man. Do you play electric guitar as well?
Oh, I love playing electric guitar.
Oh, yes, you do?
I do.
Oh, because of course you've got a band, but let's not get there yet, because otherwise I give it all away. Okay. Dave Press, guitar player, right? And singer-songwriter. Mm. Where did you perform your very first gig?
Oh, my God. At Burgess, in the Old Kent Road, there was a...
Cool.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. Yeah, I had a punk band. There was me and my mates. We had a punk band.
I can't see you like a punk man now.
Well, no, not now. I'm a bit smarter and a bit more grown up. yes, we had a punk band, and there was a youth festival, and we were invited to go to the youth festival. And there was a soul band. There was us, the punk band. We were absolutely riotous. And there was a couple of, I think it was a girl band and another band. And there was a little youth festival. It was all about 15, 16.
Okay.
And we played, and I can't remember any of it. I just remember the drummer looking at me and going and sort of frowning, but it sounded all right from where I was. I don't know.
All right, so it must have been a lot of fun. Well, I used to, for the listeners out there, you know, obviously, you know, I'm a drummer. Well, I'm teaching a lot as well at the moment, but I used to be playing, a little bit of Zeppelin stuff myself.
Cool.
And back in the days, it was a lot of naughty Ramones and Pistols and
that.
You know, 15, that you really want to go out and just take it out of that drum.
Well, that was the great thing about punk, because you could pick up a guitar
and just go for it.
And just go for it, yeah. You could do whatever you like, make up a song on the spot, and that was it. You relax. To do it. Do you know what I mean?
that was something that was really, really, really good. But where would you say that your music refined and you found your muse, if you want? You found your way. You put together this sound, your voice, your songwriting. Where did it all come together? I know you've been traveling around the world a bit. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, when I kind of first started, I started in a punk band, and then I really wanted to be in a rock band.
you have a band. They're good musicians
as well.
I've
got a great band now, yeah. Great bunch of guys. When I first started, I kind of just wanted to play and keep playing. And I picked up the guitar. I played in various bands. And then I put the guitar down for a couple of years. And when I picked it up again and went around in different bands, I wasn't satisfied. So it was actually when I arrived in Hamburg where it actually started for me.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, where everybody you meet in Hamburg, especially the taxi drivers, you've got a guitar on your back, they go, oh, I remember John Lennon and Paul McCartney. I used to take them up to the kebab shop. You know, Paul McCartney likes an organic kebab or a lamb kebab, he said.
Does
one
he?
Taxi driver, yeah.
All
and
right.
they always talk about the Beatles in Hamburg. Anyway, there's a great club there, which I ended up playing at. Almost it's like an apprenticeship.
Okay.
They would have the touring bands and stars pop by and do a little session of a Saturday or of a Friday night. And I ended up the special guest for about, I don't know, a year and a half, nearly 2 years. And I played with everybody that came by. The house bands, German bands, American bands, the people that ran the place, Angie and the guys. And
do you go there nowadays?
Do you know what, Carl? I haven't been there for ages.
Ages is...
Man, like, the last time I was there was, like, at least 8 years ago. I should so go over there again and just say hi. They go, oh my God, Dave, you're still alive.
Dave, are you doing, Dave?
Angie used to call it Dave, called me Davy Boy. Unsere Davy Boy.
Oh, do you speak German? Of course.
Well, a little bit. Kleines bisschen.
A little bit or a little bit?
There was the lady in the local chip shop, or should I say Frank's photo shop. I remember I used to go in there, and because like they all knew I played guitar and I played at the local club, blah, 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 I used to always speak English, right? So I'd go into the local shop to get some fish and chips, and I said, yeah, yeah, you know, fish and chips. And then one day she had a right go at me in German in front of the whole queue. You know, say, you know, this is, oh, I can't even remember how she said it in German, but I understood every word. And she was just sick and tired that I wasn't speaking German. And that's the point where I picked up German very well, very quickly.
Well done to the lady out there.
The chip shop. Yeah.
Respect. But I'll tell you what, before we go, we'll carry on and we tell our listeners a bit more about where you're coming from or your music and what you're doing right now, your band, and a lot of very, very good activities you're doing right now to help the people out there. And that was that's also one of the reasons why I you know, invited you back here in the studio, because last time we didn't have enough time to talk about that. And it'd be great. I've got a few people listening to this. And it might be, you know, some people invited you to other shows, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, so I'm really keen, you know, of giving you a little bit of more extra time to talk about those things. But before we carry on, there is a track from your album. You got so many. I don't remember the name. Got a few. The name of this one, but if I'm not wrong, is that Jezebel,
yeah.
And do you mind if I
go
play
ahead,
right
go
now?
Go ahead and play. It's totally great by me.
Atomic Mosquito Times radio show. This is Carlo Mosquito and it's Dave Press, with Jesse Joe. Jezebel.
You
listen
to me. What you like?
Jezebel, I've got to go. Gotta leave you running, though your man come running. He don't wanna save my soul. Jezebel, if I was a farmer, bless the soul, I bless the sky, love you till the day I die. Love a baby girl and boy. But Jezebel, I've got to run. Last time I see your face, so it's gonna be my resting place. I don't wanna die before I'm done. Jezebel, baby, if I was a preacher, man, spread the gospel, all the good news. You know the Lord loves you like I do. I pray he's gonna see us through. From it the day. If I met the devil himself, this is what I say. Oh, you bad, you disgrace, you've been messing up this place. You best be on your way, get out of hell, go on there, run, boy. Now, if I had a boat, you know we'd sail away to a land where trouble's never seen the light of day. Stars above your pretty smile would drive us on that way. And baby, when we get there, we're gonna dance the night away. Save my soul.
Butterfly, we don't need no reasons why. All the love we need runs through our veins. See me and the butterfly, we don't need to answer why. For love is love and love will just remain. Say you're lonely last a day, then you have to fade away. But I disagree. Sun ain't got no work to be done, dreaming dreams of how the world should be. See me and the midday sun, no, love's the way the battle's won, dreaming of a worldly victory. And they say dreams only last a day, then they have to fade away. But I disagree. Hope resting down by a river boat. They say it's hard, but someone's got to try. And I met hate and I met war, throwing stones by the river shore. They say there's nothing better, much to do. You see, people really need a war, 'cause people ain't much better for. But I disagree.
Dave, thank you very much. Listeners out there, you are so lucky to have Miss Dave Press here, the Atomic Mosquito Sound Radio Show. I mean, I am speechless. I wanted to play some shaker or something. I haven't got any percussions here. It's a wonderful, wonderful song.
Thanks.
I love your voice. And listeners out there, Carlos, C-A-R-L-O, at atomicmosquito.com, please. Just send your comments. I'm sure you love everything you're listening. And by the way, if people want to get in touch with you, can you give us your email address and MySpace and everything?
For the music and so forth, it's at myspace.com. Dave Press Band is the...
Very simple. Dave Press Band. Can't speak English today.
No, it's all right. Same here.
For you, it's worse than me, though. I'm Italian.
Yeah, it's more embarrassing for me. You've got an excuse.
Go ahead. Say it again.
It's MySpace/Dave Press Band.
Okay, easy. And are you on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook. If you want to hit me up on Facebook, it's Dave Press. You can't miss me. I've got a big white hat on and a guitar.
Okay. So
it's very recognizable.
Fantastic. Well, that was... when did you write that song?
That song was written about 2 years ago, that particular one. Me and the Butterfly was about 2 years ago.
What did inspire that
track? Well, I had a bit of the music going. Oh, man, I tell you what. I had the music going around.
Yes.
And it kind of... a friend of mine, Luke, said... he really liked that thing, and he was saying, I like that, and I said, yeah, I don't know what to do with it. And it was funny, I was standing outside a place I was working, smoking a cigarette, leaning up against the fence, thinking, and things weren't going as well as I wanted them to at that time. And I just watched a little butterfly go by, and I thought, yeah, it'll be all right being you, wouldn't it? You know, you've got no worries. Blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes I say that about cats.
Is that right?
Yeah, cats, you know, just chilling, you know, fed. No, I don't want to be a cat. I want to be me. It's fine.
But they chill out, don't they?
But that's what they do. Yeah,
you want to do a song about cats in colour, man. That's your thing.
go ahead.
Yeah, so the butterfly just was like, it was just a moment. The butterfly went past, and it was just kind of the carefreeness of the butterfly going by, and he didn't have a worry. Mind you, he was probably going to die within the day. Who knows?
Yeah.
Not a very long life. But that moment, I went, oh, yeah, me and the butterfly. It was just me and the butterfly in the garden that funny afternoon. And then those words just went in my head. And then I thought, well, what's this all about? And I just finished off the song from that, really, yeah.
So. Well, yes. Well, it came out really beautiful. You can feel that it's got a really, really mellow feel to it. And obviously, yes, I like your, really well recorded, expensively. You paid a lot of money to record it that way, I know, in the studio and everything. But I love the version live here in the studio, just like that, with a couple of SM58, just a couple of mics. Yeah. You know, nothing special, right? Live. That's it, man. The pure.
Got mics stuck up against the guitar in the mouth.
That's it. That's it. Off you go. Yeah. In fact, yeah, that's the only one radio. It's the magic of it all. It's not the equipment. It's nothing like that. You know, it's the magic. What you can do with that amazing guitar, your voice and everything.
Yes. Keeping it alive, innit?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. I love the sound of that guitar. I remember last time you said it's not an expensive one, but it sounds really great.
It's good, yeah. I've got a funky set of strings on it at the moment. They're rather hybrid, but it's a Taylor. It's a big baby Taylor, as it's called. Taylors are normally... A lot of money.
Yes,
but this one's the commoner or average person's guitar.
Okay.
When they came out, I went, "Oh my God, you can get a Taylor for a good price." And I just rang up a shop and said, "I'll have one of those, please." Thank you.
And when was that?
Oh my God, I got this about 5 years ago now.
Okay.
As you can see by the digs,
yes,
the gaffer tape, which is the universal solvent for musicians.
Yes.
Holding that bit together, and there's a slight dent in it, which has got gaffer tape over it. It's a gorgeous guitar. It just
play us something. Let's hear a little bit of that guitar.
Well, it just. It's got the loveliest tone to it, you know. Yeah, what can I say?
Yeah. Tell me something with your guitar.
Say that again, sorry.
Tell me something with music, with your guitar.
Right, I'm in a bluesy tuning zone.
That's fantastic. Actually, I didn't mean to ask you that much, to play that much. I know
we need to go any time.
But I love it.
Watch the bomb notes.
I like that. For me, live is the core of music. Isn't it?
It's like with musicians. I love musicians that are willing to get up and go for it and don't worry about the bum notes or what's going on. You know, if they give it their all, who cares about those kind of things? And it's there are some fantastic musicians out there,
yes,
unsigned and signed alike. And if they give it their heart and soul, that's what's important.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more.
Productions, etc.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, in fact, back in the days, you know, quite a while ago, I used to listen to these very expensive and highly produced CDs at home. They used to send me and think, "Oh, wow, amazing." Then you go live, you listen to the stuff live, and it's like, "Oh, it's empty. Oh, it's not exciting anymore."
Absolutely,
and so I used to get, you know, like out of 10 CDs that I was sent, about 10 live were not that good. And so I thought, okay, this is the wrong way around. First, I want to check them live, because sometimes, you know, making up your mind, this is quite a number, a decade ago, 10 years ago, more, I was back in Rome. And then I realized that you cannot, 100%, you just cannot make your mind up about a musician with the live CDs and they,
the CD,
you know,
line, yeah.
Yes. No, you've got to go live. And many times, some gigs were not perfect, let's say. The equipment wasn't perfect. Look at London. You go to some places. Last night I was listening to some friends at the Water Rats, yeah, which supposedly is one of the best. But even there, that, you know, sometimes you've got the odd mic doing something that it's not supposed to do, or the wedges on the stage not playing really well, so musicians can't hear themselves and they play a bum note. This is, we all been there, haven't
we? Yeah, totally.
And yet, it was great. The magic of live. You can't beat it. You can't, live, that's it.
There's nothing. No, I totally agree. You're on your toes and you're kind of, there is no correcting what you're doing.
You do it.
At that moment.
Like right now, we are live.
That's it.
They're live, you know. There's no editing, no Pro Tools, Logic editing, going back and changing the volume, and the guitar doesn't sound too perfect, or the volume of this mic I'm using right now. No, it's just, there it is. We're here.
That's the one.
Live. Well, Dave, Now, going to the other side of you, what you do, you give back to, I know you give back a lot to the community.
I try my best.
Can you introduce myself and the listeners? Because actually, I don't know a lot about this other side of you. And I love exactly what you're doing. I mean, I know, but instead of me saying it, please, you say.
All right. Okay, good. Well, I mean, I go out and I do drugs education lectures is what I do. And basically, it'll start.
What is that?
It's a lecture. It's called The Truth About Drugs.
Okay.
Because, frankly.
What is a drug?
What a drug? Well, that's what I go over in the lecture. A drug is actually a toxin or a poison, you see.
Okay, yes.
And
Are you doing lecturing kids?
I lecture kids and teenagers, and I should be lecturing adults as well.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I tell you now, sit down, children of 40 years old. But, I go around to schools and various places, open houses for kids on the street, or schools themselves for teenagers or younger kids. Yes. And I do a lecture called The Truth About Drugs. It kind of started with a mate of mine, Rob Fisher, who said, do you fancy doing this? It's a good purpose, blah, 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 blah. I said, right, I'm in, Rob. We had a look at who had the best way of presenting it and the best technology, if you will, of handling it. Do you know what I mean? And that was the Narconon system. So we started using that. And then we booked some lectures and we went out to schools. I played. And I started the lectures, and that immensely fun.
Tell me a little bit about that system you just mentioned right now, because I don't know, Narconon.
Okay. Narconon.
And this is a system.
It's a drug rehabilitation system and a drug education system.
Oh, okay, great. So you use this system.
Yeah.
You've probably been to a course or something.
I got trained. I got trained by a guy called Noel Nile, who's been lecturing for eons, it seems.
Okay.
And he's been in that game for a while, and he trained me. The training was great. It was a fiver. Rob said, "Come, it's a fiver." I went, right, I'm in. I went down for my training day along with a load of other guys, and I must have thought it was the most fun because I got the most jobs out of it. I just went off, and then me and Noel went down to different schools, and then one day we had. I think it was 6 lectures in the afternoon, one after the other, bang, 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 me, Noel, you know, and I played music in between and had a laugh with the kids. They loved it. And then at the end of the day, Noel goes, Dave, pass, wicked. He says, lovely job.
Fantastic.
And then I was okay to go out by myself to...
When was that?
Man, that wasn't that long ago. That must have been about 4 months ago.
Oh, that's not...
4 or 5 months ago, yeah.
Okay, this is a new thing.
It's pretty much
a
new venture. I mean, okay. I've always had that incentive or that idea to
help
out.
Yeah.
When I've had mates and stuff, I've put them right or I've talked to them. Mm. I've put on a lot of Say No to Drugs band nights and stuff like that for kids.
Right.
And I literally will sit the kid down and talk to them.
Yeah,
you know, I've had kids and I've in the words of Jimi Hendrix, I've slapped it out of their hands and said, come with me, sunshine. I'm going to give you a job or get you sorted.
Mm.
So I've always been that way inclined, and getting trained with drugs lectures and so forth has kind of empowered me. You know, the teachers like it, the kids love it. They get the real data about drugs. It's up to them. Then they can make up their own mind. You see, in the drugs lecture, I go over all the different points. What is a drug?
Yeah.
How does it affect you?
That's what I was about to ask, because obviously lots of people, unfortunately, have this problem.
Man,
how does it? I was badly, badly, badly addicted to a very mean drug, and that is nicotine. 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I gave it up.
All right. And I'm leaving the studio now because I smoke.
But anyway, but that's my drug. And a few drinks now and again. But
yeah,
who doesn't?
Okay.
But I mean, how aside from you know, that's legal, by the way, nicotine.
Yeah,
and we know that unfortunately, well, nicotine gives you lots of bad things. You know, you can get cancer and whatnot. But this is not today. We're talking about more serious drugs.
We're talking about the more harmful drugs.
How,
you know, the street drugs and
what
stuff.
What is the How does the addiction come about? I can understand the addiction to nicotine because I've been there for 19 years. However, and then I quit. But how about other drugs? How does the body react to this poison, this toxin?
Well, it's fascinating because there's a lot of it's interesting. It goes like this. For instance, you had dinner and you ate a bad chip. Right, a bad chip, right?
You of course, an Englishman talks to me about chips.
Well, yeah, kind of, yeah. And it's Friday tomorrow, fish and chip day.
Brilliant.
So you eat a bad chip, it goes in the system, and what happens? The body is alerted to this. It's a toxin itself, a bad chip, a drug. We're talking about a toxin. So that toxin's in the body in the form of a bad chip. The liver goes, oh, my God, it starts sending out chemicals to break down that chip. The body is used to handling toxins. So the chemicals from the liver come out and start attacking this chip, breaking it down.
Right.
Now, you put in a drug, again, a toxin, and the body goes, whoa, look out, baby, here comes some drugs, right? Right? And the body goes, right, we need a bit of this and a bit of that. We're going to start breaking this thing down, right? This is foreign. We'll kill it, right? So this off, the chemicals come out, and they start killing off this drug. So that is a rush in the body. That is the high in the body. Now, it's interesting that is what causes the buzz. That's what the high is. It's the body's reaction
to the drug.
The chemicals counteract.
Not the drug itself.
Not the drug. Otherwise, when you took that same... This is what happens with taking drugs. Otherwise, if you took that same amount of drug again, right, you'd get the same high. But... As you've heard,
the body
gets
used to it.
The body's used to it. So the addict takes a little bit more and a little bit more to get the same buzz.
True.
But the same buzz never occurs. Do you follow?
It's absolutely, yeah.
Do you
absolutely
follow?
Absolutely.
Fabulous. Now, what happens is this. After a while, the body's used to that pattern. All right, here come the drugs. Here come, okay, counteract. It has a whole physical setup now ready to counteract the drugs.
Okay.
Right, it's used to it. You can pour it in the bucket load. Okay, I'm ready. This chemical, blah blah blah. We're ready for this. We're ready for that. So, say you were about to stop. You think, oh, I'm going to stop this now. The body's like, whoa, hang on. I've got this chemical ready to go and this ready to go. You're going to stop me? Your body's going to go, whoa, no, please. I've got all this ready produced and this chemical here and we're all set up.
I need the drug now.
Oh, man, you've got to give me the drug. This is silly. I can't go back to normal like that.
That's the addiction.
That's the physical addiction.
Physical addiction.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the physical addiction, but how does it affect somebody's personality? Because that's the big one, isn't it?
That is the big one, and that is, well...
They can flash your system. I mean, they do flash, you know, there are many places, for example, the Priory. Yeah. I once played drums for a Clean 2, which was for heroin addicts and Alcoholics Anonymous, AA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they invited me in as a drummer at the Brixton Academy. There were like, you know, 5,000-6,000 people.
Mm.
I was, I was invited to help and, you know, I was there. It was a great evening and everything. Lots of people that went off the drugs and all that. Quite a few famous people. Famous faces. However, but yes, your system is washed, right? I always hear that Lou Reed, back in the days, every 6 or 7 months, he'd go to a clinic and he get complete blood transfusion from head to toe.
Goodness gracious.
And then he comes out, it's like a 20 years old. And then 6 months later, he goes back for MIT again. But how about the personality side?
Right, well, you've got two very strong points. Okay, so let's take up personalities to start with. Well, there is a term that has come about, that has been coined, which is called the biochemical personality. Now, well, check it out. Here's an example. If you go to a street corner in Moscow and you've got two drunks, well, hang on, let's go to London, right? They go, all right, you're doing all right, all right. They're falling over and they talk like a drunk. Go to a street corner in Moscow. I don't know how they'll be still, it sounds more like Finnish. They'll be drunk and acting like a drunk would, but they'll be speaking Russian. Go to Malaysia. They'll be acting like a drunk would. Do you follow my point so far?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is an alcoholic or someone that drinks acts in a particular way.
Yeah.
Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Now, if you smoke a lot of cannabis, you become dopey. They don't call dope because you smoke a lot of dope and you become smart. You become dopey.
Yes.
Yeah, you become like, are you all right, man? Yeah, man, yeah, what's up? Yeah. I'm all right,
that's
man.
Good.
Yeah, you good? Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm just like buzzing.
Buzzing.
Yeah. And they're like, they sit there for the rest of the day. Yeah, I'm buzzing. Yeah, do you want to, like, do something? No, man, I'm buzzing. Now, you get what you get with a biochemical personality is you get not the person, the person loses their personality to a large degree. They become like the drug. You know, a crack addict is like, you know, the guy that's smoking a lot of weed is all, he's supposedly chilled out. He's not, he's just dopey. He's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
out
yeah.
of it. So you're losing your personality to the drug and you're actually being the drug. Do you follow me? It's a funny thing. It's a funny thing with kids and stuff. And when I was a kid, it was like, yeah, man, we're going to rebel, right? We like, they're all different, right? And we're going to like take drugs and be different and everything. But no, you're going to be the same as everyone else. And you're going to be out of the system. And you're not going to be getting on with what you really want to do. You're just going to be, you know, a bunch of dope heads sound like a bunch of dope heads.
Doesn't matter the nationality or whatever. Yeah,
like a bunch of crackheads.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not making them wrong. People is people.
Yes,
but you become like the drug.
Yeah,
and if you keep taking the drug, like a drunk guy, right? Even when he isn't drinking anymore, he kind of acts a bit like a drunk guy.
Anyway,
do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's what you—that's what's happening with your personality. Mm-hmm. If you're getting into drugs now,
this is what you teach to these kids.
Yeah.
How old
are
they, by the way?
From 12, 14, 15, 16, sort of.
Mm. So you might—I bet you do get to meet some wild ones.
Yeah,
there's some
leery characters. I said, shut up now. Listen.
Listen. Oh, I like your accent.
No, it's funny because when I went down to one of the schools, right, all the black girls at the front were like, oh my God, look at this bloke, right? They were going, look at him, who does he think he is? You know, he'll give me that look. So I thought, what shall I say? Shall I go, okay, I'm going to give a drugs talk here, young ladies, and teach all about it. No, I said, listen up, right, I've got some really good songs and a really good talk, right? And nobody laughed because I'll get embarrassed. And that was all on the floor. And we had such a laugh.
That's great.
Yeah. So.
You know, this is your experience. You are able to go through straight to them because you know exactly what would work for them.
Yeah, you've got to be on the kids' level. You can't go in like some
That's
authority.
Very clever.
Okay, children, listen to me now. We're going to talk about drugs
That's
and
rubbish.
The dangers of them.
Yes.
And you've also got to give the kids the true data so that they can make up their own mind.
Yes.
And if they
talk to them as adults, not like kids.
As responsible individuals, you know.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you've got to do it like that, and it's got to be fun, it's got to be factual data, and it's got to be left to the kids to make up their own mind. They've got to be self-determined about it. It's like, if I said to you, Carlo, eating apples is bad, 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 you can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. Straight after this interview, you go like, I fancy an apple.
Yeah.
I'm going to get an apple because Dave said no.
But that's the case with kids. When you say no, they do it.
Yeah,
I mean, my mom and my dad.
It's so dangerous. Say, all right, let's go do it. You know what I mean?
And in fact, I tell you, this is funny. My dad used the opposite. In my house, I always had a bar, and it was in full view. It wasn't hidden anywhere. I had all of the alcohols you can imagine. And I mean, since I was born, and at lunch and dinner, we always had wine. And my dad, when I was only 5 years old, he used to put literally a drop of red wine with water in my glass.
Mm.
And he got me used to that kind of taste. Well, believe me, the first time I got drunk, I had alcohol there all my life. And I never wanted to go there and pick it because I had it there. And he never said, don't touch.
Yeah, yeah.
He was there, you see. So I assumed he's
also
giving me a little bit. I can do what I want with it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've never wanted it.
Yeah. he allowed you your
Funny,
own self-determinism and your
own
control.
Yeah, he gave me, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I got completely out of my heads was with Martini White. And I must have been like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
No, it was with Cointreau. Oh, that was bad.
Oh,
that was bad.
Yeah,
a bottle in two.
Oh, my. How much?
A full bottle in two.
Oh, my
We
God.
Were like 14 or 15.
Two of you and just like, you finished the football
in an afternoon. And then we just felt sick all over the place.
I bet you did.
I was at a friend's place in Rome. Oh, that was awful. That was awful. But I mean, it was completely innocuous. We were not going anywhere. We were inside the room and we were just being silly, like a teenager is.
I mean,
but we were not doing it in a club and could be or driving or anything like that.
Yeah,
I mean, this is because nobody said, don't do it. Nobody ever told me, don't do it.
What you've got to do with guys, with the youth and so forth, you've got to give them the factual data and then you've got to allow them to make up their own mind. I would like to take up another point that you mentioned.
Please.
That is with regard to getting drugs out of the body. Now, there's a very, very interesting fact that has been discovered.
To flash it out, yeah.
Well, check it out. How long do you think, Carlo, a drug, say, for instance, cannabis, stays in the system? How long do you think?
Well, I think I read this somewhere. If I'm not wrong, if you have a smoke, okay, nicotine goes away in 3 days. Cannabis goes away 3 days or more, or a few more. Cannabis, is it a month?
No. Have another guess.
More or less?
No.
Less?
Much more.
For a smoke?
Yeah.
2 months.
Right. Let's move on then. All right. It got you interested now, haven't I? How about LSD? So you take an LSD. How long do you think that might stay?
Believe me, the only thing I know about that and I learned about that, it was from Lucy in the Sky with Diamond by the Beatles. Mm. That's why, Carlo, that's a song about LSD. I don't have a clue about that. I don't know, a year?
Could be much longer.
Much longer.
Let me tell you a couple of things here. You have, with various categories of drugs, let's look at cannabis. Cannabis has, if you got leaf from cannabis, it's oily, yeah? Mm. Hash is oily, it's gluey, okay. Yeah? Yeah? Let's take cocaine, right? It's basically a salt, but it's made with kerosene, which is oily, and petroleum products.
All right.
It's oily. If you look at various pills like ecstasy, and if you add heroin in a pill form and so forth, all pills...
Does heroin exist in a pill form as well?
It used to. I don't know whether you can get it in pill form now.
Incredible. This is something I didn't know.
All right, yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Also with poppies, when it's opium.
Yes.
It's gooey, isn't it?
All right, okay.
And now with pills, any form of pills, be they amphetamines, uppers, downers, you name what you want, they're all held together by something. Coal tar, you know, coal that's dug out of the ground.
Yes.
Well, there's a byproduct of that called coal tar. It's a gluey sort of substance that they use to put the ingredients of pills together.
Otherwise, I think they use it also in any sort of pills.
Yeah, any pills. A lot of pills have it.
Have it, even because the so-called healthy stuff.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And it's what it does. It's called a binding agent.
It means
it glues all the bits together. Otherwise, your pill would fall apart, and you go, "Ooh, it's in the floor." Right? Now, if you look at all these, what's the common denominator here? You've got cannabis and hash. You've got cocaine with oily substances. You've got hash and cannabis with oily substances in it. Alcohol has got starch in it again.
Right, okay.
Pills have got a gluey substance in it. Do you see what's in common here? It's a stickiness.
It's a stickiness. Okay.
They're all sticky. Hmm. Now, when a drug goes into the system, it goes into the bloodstream, and everybody assumes it goes out of the bloodstream and it's all gone tomorrow and we'll all be happy. Now,
yeah.
But if these particles of drugs are sticky, yeah,
okay.
The bloodstream is surrounded by the fat cells, yeah?
Okay.
Not just around your stomach and so forth. There's fat tissues all around the body. Now, where do you think those drug particles are going to go to?
I don't know. Liver.
Well, go for it.
Because the liver has to filtrate all the rubbish, unfortunately.
As you've got these drugs particles going around the bloodstream, which is surrounded by the fat tissues.
Okay, they're going to go in there.
They're going to go
and they're going to stay there.
They're going to stay there. Now, there are various cases where it's been shown that the drugs stay in the system, get lodged in the fat system, and they're there. It could
incredible.
Be 9 years, 10
wow.
years, more.
And incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. That is something that is amazing, and I had never heard that, you can have that stuff with
That's
you
right.
that long. I mean, listeners out there, if you want to spread this very important information, please do, because there are many people out there that play, unfortunately, with drugs. They think it's cool and they're going to get hooked.
Man, the thing is, from an artist's viewpoint...
Get a bit closer to
my
thank you.
From an artist's viewpoint, it ain't cool because, you know, I've seen so many guitarists just fall over. Here's an example. Great guitarist, right? In an audience, right? And I'm playing away. Manager comes up to me, says, "Oh, you've got to get this guy on stage, Dave. He's amazing." I'm looking over. I'm said, "He's out of his mind."
Yeah.
Right? He can't even sit down straight. Do you know what I mean? Let alone if he stands up. Don't know. And this guy went on and on. "No, he's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing." I thought, I'm not giving him my guitar.
No.
You know what I mean? Anyway, after... I don't know how many times this guy said, I said, "All right, he can play one song. I hope he can stand up," right?
Yeah, but
he was drunk and I don't know what else he'd taken, right?
Yeah, okay.
He got up on the stage. I gingerly strapped a guitar around him, right? The man on the drums called, they decided what they're going to play. He went 1, 2, 3, 4. The guy reeled backwards into the amplifiers. The head of the amplifier fell straight on top of him. So did another load of equipment. It went bong. Big and noise like that. And I went, like, wicked solo, man.
Cool. There you go.
Do you know what I mean?
People believe this stuff is
the
cool.
Thing,
but
with musicians, man, you got musicians in their bedrooms all over the country, stoned and not getting out there.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
This is
why I do this stuff, you know? And this is what I want to change and what I want to see change, you know?
Tell us.
The thing is, you can do something about it. You can talk to somebody about it. You don't make them wrong. You don't say it's wrong. You ask them what they want to achieve and what was happening before they started doing the drug, right? It might take a few conversations, yeah? But you validate them. You say, what were you doing? Why did you do this? Because people take drugs for a reason, mm-hmm. yeah? There's something they can't handle, yeah. Something they can't confront, something yes. they can't communicate, mm-hmm. you know? So you talk to this man in a decent way until he goes, well, man, the thing is, right? And he'll tell you, and you say, well, man, you're a great guitarist, man.
What are you doing with your life?
Keep practicing,
yes.
man.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Just, do you know what I mean? And the drugs can be gotten out of the system fully. The right. Narcanon program flushes out. There was an amazing discovery about vitamin B3, niacin. It's almost like an educated vitamin. It finds any toxins in the body and flushes it out.
Great.
And you take B3 and other vitamins and you sweat it out in the sauna. It may take a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It doesn't matter. Everything can be flushed out of the body.
Great.
You see?
That's great news.
If anybody's out and wants information,
please.
About it,
yes, please.
Yeah. If you
because
go,
we'll have to now. Right, cool. Go. Yes.
If you want to Google parental guidance group. .co.uk. That's parental guidance group.co.uk. You got all the information there. There's a wicked video of me playing a guitar as well.
All right. Okay.
But you
that's
can.
Good. In fact, just to leave our listeners out there with this amazing. Really, thank you very much
it's
for
a
sharing.
Pleasure, Carlo.
So this is very, very, very important information that people. Unfortunately, there are many people out there that don't get this straight. Taking drugs ain't cool. It's not cool. It ruins
man.
Your life. You're lost. You're finished. No more dreams. You can never
right.
achieve. Really accomplish anything in life if you're taking drugs. So it's amazing from me, from my point of view, and I'm very lucky to be doing this show, Atomic Mosquito Unsigned, on SW1 Radio. There's a plug there, but for this community radio station, there
yeah.
you go. I am allowed, I can invite people, such talented musicians like yourself, singer-songwriter, as well as you are giving a lot back to society.
I'm trying.
And I can see, I could actually see, you guys can't, but you definitely felt the passion of Dave's words, and I could actually see this guy here is actually on a mission. You are not just doing it because I'm sure that they pay you some expenses or something, but you're not exactly you're not going to be
hard.
Get rich out of
no.
it. It's something that you are doing because you really feel.
I mean, man, look at the state of the country. There, I've met so many musicians that are not achieving their goals because they are stoned or they've been wrecked or they've given up because of drugs.
Right.
I mean,
it's true.
The heroin statistics right now are an all-time high.
Incredible.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can get the most top-of-the-range skunk at the moment. It never used to be the strong weed about, you know? Really strong weed is available now all over
okay.
the place. You know, kids talk about skunk. In my day, you know, it was like... it wasn't available, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And we've got to do something for the kids. We've got to put their more sports facilities. We've got to put their more more places for them to play. We've got to put them more concerts. There's not enough.
Yeah.
Now we've got the problem of getting them off the drugs before we even get them to learn something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just absolutely...
And enjoy their life because ultimately,
man,
you know, they have a life in their hands.
Yeah,
and they don't know. Yeah.
Man, these kids are the guys that are going to take over.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's
yes.
give them a hand.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, really, really, I couldn't be happier of what you said. I agree with everything you said, Dave. I would love, and I said here on the show, to have you in a number of weeks once again to tell me, maybe after a couple of your sessions you had with these guys, and why not perhaps you could come with one of them, and if they want to, if they're not shy,
interview one of the kids
would be absolutely great.
That'd
be
so
great.
Cool. Hey, Carl, I got a great idea. We're going to start a singing competition, not a singing competition, but a songwriting competition, like
right.
anti-drunk song
okay.
with the schools, the various schools we go to.
Okay.
How about we get one of the kids kids to come down. We'll get them to write something.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah? And we'll get the kids down on the station.
Yeah, I'm down for it. Give me 5 minutes.
Give me one more.
Nice one. Well, listeners out there, this is the Atomic Oceana Science Show. We've been so lucky to have Mr. Dave Press, the one and only, here in the studio. As you've heard, not just music. Well, obviously, music is magic, and the pleasure of music, you know, it reaches straight to your heart. But as you can hear, you can do a lot more with music. And I'm really looking forward to have you and whoever, her or him, together with you, playing a song and something about, you know, sending a very, very important message. Please, before we go, and because that's a song that I want to play, which I really love, which is called Baby, If You Love Me, from your album. And I want to leave the listeners with that track. But before we go, please, your plugs, your MySpace and everything once again.
Oh, yeah. My MySpace is Dave Press Band. My Facebook is Dave Press. And please, anybody who wants to help out with this project, go to parentalguidancegroup.co.uk. Any money you can send me and the guys, any ideas, if you want a drugs talk or if you want the band, if you want me to come around and play acoustically for you and give a talk, please contact the Parental Guidance Group. Love you. Yeah, let's
fantastic.
Let's,
well, mate, thank you very much for this message. We are really, really happy. I can't wait to cut this podcast and put it out there. I'm going to put it on your Facebook so all your, yes, everybody can listen to this show, and my Facebook and lots of other people will definitely be very happy to spread the message. Listeners, I'll catch you next Thursday. For now, this is the Atomic Mosquito Unsigned Radio Show with Carlo Moschetta. This is, you know, so long for now for me and Mr.
See you later, Mr. Dave Press. Yeah.
And this is Baby, If You Love Me. Ciao.
Well, baby, if you love me, why do you treat me mean? 'Cause I bought you everything, child. You ain't what you seen. I went to the store, thank God the store was closed, 'cause where my money's gone, baby, nobody knows. Baby, if you love me, why do you treat me mean? Well, baby, if you love me, why don't you tell me so? Or if you really fooling, baby, let me go. You say it's fine, but when I come home, let her catch another man, leave him by the back door, gay Lord. If you love me, why don't you tell me so? And you want this and you want that, and you really just need monkey on my back, and you scream and you holler, baby, just to get your way. I know with you I won't get far, so I'm gonna have a drink with my man Charlie Parr. Bye-bye. Well, baby, if you love me, why don't you stay out late? Why do you bought your tickets for the show, baby? You said you can't wait. Well, you're out, well, we got just up on five of the people you hang with. Like, they ain't no friends of mine. Baby, if you love me, why do you stay out late? Well, baby, if you want to marry me, where did you put that ring? I've been looking for days, child. I ain't seen a thing. You say it's fine, must be around. I think you sold it, mama, or melted it down. Baby, if you love me, did you put that ring? Baby, if you love me, where did you put that ring? Baby, if you love me, where did you put that ring?
Unsigned radio shows broadcasting to the world every Thursday, 6 to 8pm on sw1radio.co.uk and from December 3rd on 87.7 FM.